Nobody's going to watch this movie that liked Dick Cheney and go, oh my God, I never realized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
That's me, not you. Me.
Mm-hmm. And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Sher.
Hello. That's my Cheney impression.
That's your Bale doing, Cheney?
Yeah.
Hello.
Today, we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod.
Vicey-pod.
A Vicey-pod.
Vicey-pod, yeah.
Vice.
This is going to be a spicy meatball.
Not the biopic of Rachel Vice, but Vice.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, exactly. Vice, as in Vice President. I saw this movie around Christmas, so I have about a month distant from this movie. You guys recently saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I get the impression that I like it better than you guys.
Let's just say this. There's a point in the movie where George Bush gives a speech about the Iraq war, and we pan down to his foot shaking to show how nervous he is.
Mm.
And we cut immediately to a family in Iraq being bombed, and they're hiding under the table, and we pan down to show the shaking foot of the Iraqi son or father as a parallel. And I turned to Barrett at that point in the movie and said, man, fuck this movie. And from there on, it did not get any better.
Mm.
Now, I have talked with Dicer about this, and I see his point, which may be your point, which is that what I see as the movie heavy-handing me is just Adam McKay's directorial style of comedy. And some people like it and some don't. But there are so many beats in this movie where it felt like he thought I was too stupid to understand the imagery. The one I debated with Dice, I'm sorry, I'm hogging all the time.
Do
here,
it, baby.
Was the when he has that lunch meeting with the barbecue chicken where George Bush is trying to get him to be vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And Cheney is trying to get Bush to give him extra powers. And we cut maybe five or six times to the fly fishing reel in the water being pulled back.
Yeah.
As though I don't understand that Cheney is reeling in Bush.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, Dicer explains it as he doesn't think McKay doesn't think I know what's going on, but that in McKay's mind, this is how he likes to underline what's going on and draw. It's an exaggeration of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, I don't think I'm going to be a big fan of his directing career.
Well, and what you're talking about there, we could easily just not cut in between the conversation and just have him fishing afterwards.
Sure.
And it would be the same. That would be the same exact thing. You don't have to punctuate that that thing. I told you guys before. I liked this movie. I didn't like it nearly as much as The Big Short. And The Big Short, I think, is a much better movie than this.
Oh sure.
So his directorial style there works so much better than in this one. In this one, all your cutaways, which, you know, in The Big Short was, let's go to Selena Gomez, or, hey, let's go to Margot Robbie in a bubble bath. All those different things work perfectly for that movie. For this one, it's a lot of conjecture and, like, what ifs and stuff like that. You're not being relayed any information with these things that you know for a fact happen. Like, for instance, the worst part of Vice for me is when they do the Shakespeare thing.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't like that.
I did not.
Now, see, I knew that was coming, not that you spoiled anything for me, but you had mentioned that when you talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said that, or when the title card or whatever that is came up, I was expecting that, but I kind of enjoyed that. But
I mean, the reason why I didn't is that it takes forever.
It does go on several beats too
like
long.
They could have done four lines and we would have, and that would have been a perfectly good joke, but they went way over the top on that and everything. I'll tell you what I did like about it. Bale as Cheney, of course, is ridiculously good.
Yep.
I think also the idea of expanding presidential powers, which is what he explored by the time he was a nothing in government in the 70s, all the way up until now, where he was practically retired, where he sort of developed this idea of the executive power, whatever that theory is.
Unitary executive.
The idea that that the president, anything that he does can't be wrong because he's the president, is sort of an important thing to discuss in this day and age. And the idea of expanding presidential powers, I know that there are lawyers out there who have looked at the Constitution and they say, well, if you can interpret this to mean the president has all the power, but I don't think in any world that you've read the Constitution that you ever thought the founding fathers thought that one man should have that much power. That's the reason why they left England in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so like the idea of having three different branches of government that are checks and balances and everything, that's written into the Constitution. And to interpret it any other way, just because you see some language that's kind of, oh, I can snag in on that. That is the part of the movie that I think a lot of people should pay attention to. Now, that's just a message. That doesn't mean that the movie part of it is
isn't there sure. A part where they actually say something like, we hope Trump isn't paying attention to this or something like that?
Well, they definitely show his face. That's one of my problems is that I feel like you could make this movie without all the hammering me, and a smart person will still see the parallels to Trump and how what Cheney did paved the way.
Mm.
But the movie, by the end of this movie, there's a montage that makes it seem like Cheney is responsible for every bad thing that's ever happened.
Oh, my God.
Immigrants in a boat, wildfires in California. And I think that might be where I stood up to start leaving, even though I didn't actually walk out. Because, again, you can tell me he's evil. You can make all the points you're trying to make. But the reason I tuned out was because you were screaming it at me.
There's a huge difference in, I don't know if you've seen Black Klansman yet. No. There's a huge difference in the epilogue, for all intents and purposes, of that movie versus this movie. Because it's the same trope. It's using present day footage, news footage, to underscore the point of the movie. But this is like, there's a scene where somebody overdosed on opiates and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, sure, yeah, there's probably some sort of, like, he's got his fingers in everything. But, like, the way Spike Lee does it is it really emotionally just hits you in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
This is the complete opposite of that because it's so, so obvious and so over the top.
I do think, I want to make sure I say good things because I think plenty of good things about this. The section where it fake ends and rolls credits
That's
on
so
a happy
yes.
note is
that
fucking
was a laugh
awesome.
Out loud thing.
And I think that goes on the perfect amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
The music swells. Cheney was never in public office again.
Yeah.
The title cards. That was great. And I get the sense that that is Adam McKay's style.
Well,
and The Big Short is all that stuff.
Yeah, and he did that in The Big Short, too. He didn't do the credit thing, but he did have because there's a point where somebody like Steve Carell's on the phone at the end of Big Short saying, you know what, they're just going to blame immigrants for this, and they're just going to sweep all of this all under the rug and all that. And then a narrator comes in, but that's not what happened. It's like people were sent to jail and all this other type of stuff. And then it was like, oh, wait a minute, no, that didn't happen.
I thought Bale was good. I felt like I could hear Bale too much under the voice.
There are a couple of moments
that
where you
scene
can hear him.
Where he turns to the camera at the end to lecture me, because it's not even Cheney's fault, by the way. It's mine.
Yes.
I felt like that was Patrick Bateman talking in a gruff, deeper voice. But I thought Amy Adams was fucking outstanding, and I came into the movie not expecting anything from her character or her acting. And then I thought Steve Carell was, Steve Carell was a standout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I felt like maybe his acting was more subtle, the stuff he had to show. Because, man, he goes from mentor to stepped on underling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that. It takes 40 years.
Exactly. What's funny about that is that there's so many Steve Carell mannerisms in that performance.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also Rumsfeld. Like, you remember, I used to watch Meet the Press and stuff like that religiously back in those days. And he'd have that like affable, like kind of, even if he's selling you the biggest bullshit ever, which mm-hmm. was typical, like he's just smiling and he's laughing and stuff like that. He's excited. There's that great beat where he's like, right after 9/11, he's like, but there are so many good targets in Iraq.
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah.
No, no, settle down, Russell. Yeah. We're not attacking Iraq.
Well, and you also got to, I mean, I don't know how this is, if this happened in real life, but you also got to admire when Cheney sort of cuts Rumsfeld off from everything. And Rumsfeld is just sitting there going, all right, well.
Said, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which,
yeah.
And that. By the way, we're eschewing spoilers at this point because this is much like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
You know the story from now. Okay. What did you think during that scene, by the way, what did you think of the whole heart transplant thing?
You know, I saw Jeremy write about this on Twitter, and I don't remember it being that crazy.
Okay.
I know that at this point in the movie, you guys are already
yep.
rubbed raw, yeah. So that's gonna come up. It's gonna be a little bit more clear to you. For me, it wasn't. I didn't have any.
Well,
problem
and that's
with
the thing is that I don't even think I want to say it's a bad movie.
Mm.
I had a really bad time. Mm. I didn't enjoy it at all. But what made it unenjoyable to me was the stylistic choices
mm-hmm.
that once I decided they weren't for me, somewhere between the shaking leg parallels and the Shakespeare stuff, I was like, tuning out, not mm-hmm. liking this.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yes, every instance of his style after that just rubbed me wrong. And had I swung the other way at that midpoint, then I probably would have loved the heart thing. I just felt like it was the movie saying, see his empty heart cavity?
Yeah.
And then when they cut to the side shot of his old diseased heart dripping bile off the side of it, and it just felt like a conversation I wanted to have at a lower decibel.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie just wanted it to be all very shouty and screamy, and it kept me from being able to accept the vision.
Did you like mm-hmm. the whole thing with Jesse Plemons?
Yes, although for half the movie we were convinced it was Ron Livingston.
Exactly like Ron Livingston.
Once he said, is that Ron Livingston? I was like, holy shit, it is. And then Plemons comes on screen and I'm like, oh God, I never realized they sounded alike.
Yeah.
I did. Yes, yes. There was nothing about that bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Even who he ended up being.
Yeah.
And the story needed a narrator,
mm-hmm.
Or a storyteller, I suppose, to tie 4 years of events together. And I thought that was I thought that was clever enough. Like, again, I don't hate the movie. I'm not going to give it an F plus or anything. Mm. I just, the stylistic choices turned me off personally and kept me from being able to accept the vision. I'm going to stick with that language.
Yeah, I understand that. I personally like didn't have that same experience with the look at me nature of what you guys are talking about. I thought for me the messages and stuff that were being transmit there were more important than any kind of over the topness that the movie might be doing. And it is a little bit McKay style for sure. I just think it works better with The Big Short when you have a faster moving type of movie, which that's what that was. Vice didn't need to be in this kind of, like, you know, it didn't need to be in this kind of whatever mode he was in with Big Short.
Well, also, you think of the comedies like the Talladega Nights and Anchorman and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe part of this is Will Ferrell, where he's making fun in Ricky Bobby, like he's making fun of that culture essentially. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But he's finding like the soul of it, right? He's sending it from a different perspective, especially with like the Jane Lynch character in Talladega Nights mm-hmm. and stuff like that, where it's caricature, but like there's heart to it.
Man, there's no attempt in Vice to show any good side.
I disagree with you, and I think he's trying to shoehorn in that, like his family stuff, where they're always together, they're eating dinner, his support for his daughter. That, you know, takes a turn at the end.
That's the thing, though, is that
I think he's trying to establish a family man, like there's some sort of soul to this guy for all the way through until that moment.
Maybe.
And I don't, well, I think to your point, I don't buy it.
Right,
well, I don't buy what he's selling. He may have some sort of, the real Dick Cheney may have some sort of this inherent family first type of thing that redeems him in some sort of way. But like, I don't get it in the movie. I don't buy it in the
this
movie.
This felt, I want to be careful how I say this. This felt like a hit piece. In the way that Michael Moore's films feel like a hit piece.
I felt the same way.
In that
he's preaching to me, by the way.
With a conclusion and a villain, and perhaps a more nuanced movie would have given me more humanity in Cheney's character. But the movie started out thinking he was the devil incarnate. And maybe he is.
Yeah.
I don't freaking know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, better him than me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did kind of like the heart attacks. It's funny. I like the heart attacks.
Absolutely.
Especially the final one after the Bush v. Gore thing, where he's like, and I think I'm going to need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And that was actually like, there's a couple of beats in here where I really laughed out loud. But man, I just... I didn't like it.
I thought Tyler Perry was pretty distracting.
Really?
Not really his fault. He looked way more like Tyler Perry than Colin Powell.
That's true. Yeah.
And I think that was why.
Yeah, because Bale and even Amy Adams and Steve Carell like disappeared into their roles.
They looked like the people.
Yeah.
And he didn't. Even the gal playing Condoleezza Rice, I had to do a double take on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, they got the real lady.
Yeah.
But Tyler Perry showed up, and I was giggling. I'm pretty sure you remember me giggling.
That's pretty much what happens every time he shows up, though. It's unfortunate because he's got such a persona outside of the other movies that he's in that it becomes distracting. It's distracting in Star Trek when he shows up. It's distracting in Gone Girl.
Yeah.
It's distracting in that movie he made, Spider, Alex Cross.
Alex Cross.
Oh, yeah.
Spider.
Yeah.
Say Spider, yes. I'm going to go directly to Alex Cross.
I was working my way there.
I did think it was interesting, though, the whole thing where he first sees Rumsfeld talking on stage, and the guy comes up and says, I've already worked with the Democrats. Can I take the Democrat side? And he goes, what party was that guy up there? And he's like, oh, yeah, he's Republican. That's what I am, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really interesting, too, because it shows that a lot of times you just go for a party because you kind of admire somebody and not really because of what you really believe in. And
am I crazy? Or back when Trump was flirting with the idea of running in 2012... 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there talk he could go either way, Democrat or Republican?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up choosing...
Because he had donated to both parties.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what the movie is saying with that, is that a lot of these people in politics, they don't care about what
arbitrary.
They say they care about.
Yeah.
They care about the power.
But I think that's a testament to that whole thing with his daughter, who they've quietly, maybe not publicly supported, but they've at least said... We're not going to touch the issue, and we're not going to make any policy on it. And then when his other daughter runs for Senate or whatever, they're like, oh yeah, totally against gays getting married and all this other stuff. And that's the most devastating part of that movie for me is the fact that he betrays just for power, betrays the whole family dynamic that they had. I'm not shocked that they haven't reconciled over that.
Well, and at that point, isn't it just power for his daughter even? It's not even like power for him as much as like, I do feel like that's a defining moment of the character in the film.
And you see her sister the whole time is like, this is totally good. I don't know why anybody would be against this. Then when she starts running, then she has to get on because she's behind in the polls. She has to go up there and start saying, oh yeah, I don't know what mistakes my sister's made in the past. We know this is a choice and so on and so forth. It's devastating. It's absolutely devastating. I felt the same way. This is just a complete aside, but I felt the same way about Phil Bredesen when he was running in his race.
Saying whatever he wanted to.
He was saying
to get
a lot of stuff to try to get right-wing voters on
his
side.
I'll work with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll reach across the aisle.
And what you did was you alienated your Democratic base,
mm-hmm.
and you, the other people that you're hoping to vote get your vote. They don't think you're they know you're full of it.
Yeah, they didn't think you were being sincere.
Yeah, so that strategy doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And in this case, unfortunately, it does make sense for her because this is the Republican primary mm-hmm. that she's trying to win and everything. But I totally understand you guys not liking this at all. I'm still firmly liking it, but I'll watch it again someday. And
it's one of those weird movies where I know it was my own personal taste and not the movie itself. Like, obviously, you can look at this movie critically. I haven't seen The Big Short yet, but you can say it's not as good as that,
mm-hmm.
but it's still good. But I don't think I ever wanted to argue it's bad. I think I just wanted to argue, fuck this movie, piss me off.
I think something this obvious and shouty, and I love Matt McKay's work too, comedies and The Big Short.
Mm-hmm.
I think qualitatively to me makes it a bad movie in my estimation.
I can understand that.
Because, as you said, like a more nuanced approach just here and there and stuff like that with the heart transplant scene, with the W scene and stuff like that. This to me is in the same ballpark as Oliver Stone's W. It's starting from a conclusion.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Well, and this movie should have given us more of Sam Rockwell. I feel like
the
trailer sold me like him being a second or third major character, and he's really not.
Also, what an amazing trailer, especially relative to the quality of the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, what'd you think about Sam Rockwell? I felt like he was in the same ballpark as Josh Brolin.
No, I thought he was fine. I think Josh Brolin didn't seem to go over the top. He wasn't doing a Will Ferrell type of thing. And I mean, there are occasional moments. It's impossible to do George W. Bush without kind of doing some.
He's
of that.
A caricature himself. Yeah.
Yeah. He is shown as the guy we thought he was or pictured him as for those 8 years.
Maybe
just
he
a buffoon.
Is at this point.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much that's come out about what a stumbling, bumbling buffoon he was. Maybe it's true.
Yeah, that, I mean, they set that up pretty early. He's stumbling around drunk at a party, mm-hmm. and everybody notices what a dumbass this guy is, and then like all the stuff about the power that he's asking for, and he's just like, whatever,
he doesn't even fucking know.
Well, that sounds good.
It goes to show, though, this is exactly the type of movie we reviewed. 65% of critics on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's certified fresh, but it's a 6.7 out of 10 total. And then the audience score is 54%.
Wow.
A 3.1 out of 5. We still don't know why the critics get 10 and the audience gets 5. But
that is one of life's greatest mysteries.
Can't trust that audience, man.
No, but it goes to show it is that type of movie. It really depends on how the stuff inside of it rubs you.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds sexual, but...
It's not even the content. Now, I could argue that why do we need this movie right now when everything in reality is a shit show? I don't really need to see in the previous shit show that happened to understand what the shit show is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's preaching to the choir, much like Michael Moore is to me. Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to watch this movie that liked Dick Cheney and go, oh my God, I never realized.
Yeah.
Right? This is the definition of preaching. That's why I sort of compared it to the way Michael Moore films feel to me, is that they're made with a conclusion in mind already. And anybody that doesn't share that, you've already lost them.
And to their credit, like you said, he does announce right at the beginning. He ruled like, Satan himself or whatever that quote was on the title card. It lost me, man. This, to me, is like the definition of a C movie. Maybe I'll watch it at some point for some parts later mm-hmm. on, but I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it.
All right. Well, I give this a solid B.
All right.
Oh, fuck. C.
Okay.
Yay. And so thanks for the patrons, by the way, who voted this movie. Another odd choice of all this stuff in December to see.
I think they're fucking with us. They're having fun. They're like, let's go. Next month, they're going to make us see, you know, Piece of Fruit in a Cup, too.
Yeah, yeah. I hear that's getting a limited release in New York
next
week.
That's right.
Subtitled The Fruitening.
Yes. Okay, well, that'll do it for our mini pod.
Mini pod.
Vicey pod.
Vice. Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott and Barrett Sherr. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
So, the mechanism by which this will stop happening?
What happened? Are you turning it the wrong way?
I want it to not turn at all.
You're turning that one the wrong
way. Supposed to go like this?
Yeah.
No, that's loosey-goosey.
That's right.
Thank you. I'm a moron.
No, it happened. Oh, my God. When I used to work as a mechanic, right when I first started, I was like 15, 16 or something like that. And I was supposed to take a muffler off of a truck that was up on the rack. And I got the muffler off, and then I'm trying to take the catalytic converter off, this thing in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wrestling with that thing like a fucking anaconda, man. I cannot get this converter off. And like I'm throwing the thing all over the place. And I finally get Billy, the old mechanic that was all salty and everything. And I was like, man, I guess these are locked up, or maybe my ratchet isn't good enough. And he's like, well, show me what you were doing. And he's like, you're tightening that shit. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
Damn it.
What's crazy is I remember kind of thinking the movie was okay fun.
I did too.
And I just can't imagine how it's going to play.
Ashley Johnson is...
She was on...
That's the girl from...
Growing Pains or whatever.
And she's in The Avengers. And she's the one that fucks Timberlake in The Social Network.
Right.
It is. That's right.
She doesn't know. That's Dakota Johnson that fucks Timberlake.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Wait. It is Dakota Johnson. Mm-hmm. Boy, I get those two confused.